All right, welcome to the Rod of Iron podcast, where we break down discussions, dogma, and daily events. I am your host, Pastor Bruce Mejia from First Works Baptist Church in El Monte, California. And I'm joined by the men in our church, Brother Ray Flores. We got Brother Brother Milan Knezovic. That's going on YouTube. Sorry, right, man? Right? Brother Keith Rivas. They got Brother Paul Quesada. We got Marco Sanchez and Hiktov Macy in the background. And Brother Jose is somewhere around here, I think, right? Gonzalez, he's somewhere around here. He'll be showing up later. And Ulises will come as late as usual, okay? And tonight, we got some pretty interesting discussions, right? Yeah. We're going to be discussing the much-anticipated, enigmatic QAnon. What is it? Is it real? Is it fake? Is it good? Is it bad? What should be our view as Christians in regards to this conspiracy of QAnon? And then we're going to roll right into the topic of Babylon, because it's really closely tied into this topic of QAnon. And then we're just going to kind of shoot the breeze, going to give some shout outs, answer some questions that we got on the email, and do a special roasting session brought to you in part by Brother Ray Flores. So make sure you stick around to the very end for that. But before we get into all that, let's go ahead and cue that intro, pun intended. Should I do it again or what?
Nah, it's good.
Maybe throw.
I don't want yes man, right?
No, that was perfect that first take. Yeah.
Throw like a wink in there, you know.
Cue that intro.
All right, so we can start whenever we want. Okay.
Right.
So what's up, guys?
Not much. It's
gotta get into the mic.
It's Wednesday. I've been waiting for this day since last Wednesday.
Since last Wednesday. We got someone brand new here tonight. I accidentally called you Melon, but it wasn't a diss, okay?
I've been called Melon a couple times, so
all right.
Well, nothing new.
Then we'll just stick to it.
Yeah. Honestly, I would respond to anything if you just look at me and acknowledge that I'm here.
By the way, if you're not subscribed to Brother Milan Knezovic's channel, we're going to be giving you a shout-out here. Subscribe to Clad with Zeal. I was going to say Clad with Iron. Clad with Zeal. I'm getting all the names mixed up tonight.
If I get more subs from this, I definitely got to throw out some more content because I have not been.
Well, that's why I'm giving you the shout out, because you need to come out of retirement.
You're forcing me to do this now. So
Brother Milan Knezovic is with us today. He's an awesome, awesome member of our church. He'll be joining the discussion today, so we're excited to have him. It's hot today, man.
Oh, yeah, it's hot. It's
getting hot. That's a good thing, though.
Yeah, we need it. Kills that Rona.
Hey, we got those murder hornets coming though soon. So, you know, you guys heard about that? The murder hornets? Who's heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of it. This guy, Coyote Peterson, he stings himself with one. It's on YouTube.
And what happens? Does he get murdered?
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
I'm just picturing like a bunch of hornets coming, and then it's just like they play that Snoop Dogg song, Murder Was the Case That They Gave Me. As the hornets are coming.
It's like Wu-Tang, man. Like Killer Bees. Like,
yeah, Wu-Tang. Hey, hornets was a judgment from God in the Bible.
Yeah.
Because hornets kill the bees that are used to pollinate the crops and everything. And if you can't get that, you know, obviously there's going to be a famine of some sort. So.
And that's exactly what these hornets do.
Yeah.
They basically like decapitate bees.
Yeah.
So they're basically like four or five of them are just like.
Did you just say they decapitate?
They decapitate. So basically like four or five of them like roll up to like a beehive. They'll just go in there and like the bees can't hurt them. So they just like, they just roll in there and they just like decapitate like bee by bee. Like they just take out like a whole freaking like hive. Like,
are you being serious? Are you
no, I'm being 100% serious. That's what
you have
do.
A video on that? I want to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you could
get
it.
YouTube. I sent you that video where the bees like surrounded it and vibrated on it.
Yeah. But that hornet got whooped though. So we saw this one video. It was cool. It was like, so this hornet came to this bee hive and was trying to destroy the bees or whatever. And these bees, they just swarmed this hornet, right?
Right.
And it started vibrating. They just started shaking and vibrating. And it cooked the hornet.
Oh, wow.
It's not funny, Paul. This is real life, man.
It is like that.
It literally, like, they just swarmed. They swarmed the hornet. And it created so much heat when they vibrated that they actually cooked it. You can look that up on YouTube, wow. You know. But it goes to show you that there's strength in numbers, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, it's kind of like a preaching service. With a bunch of people who are on board with the preaching of God's word, you make that preaching hot enough, the Christians in that church are hot enough, what it does is just cooks the person who's the foreigner, the infiltrator, right?
Yeah.
Eventually, right. It'll just destroy that person, you know?
So watch it when you try to roll up right here.
Yeah, exactly. Gotcha. About a bunch of hornets here.
Has anyone ever been stung by a hornet? I've only been stung by a bee once.
I've never even been stung by a bee.
Never been stung by a bee?
I've never been stung by a bee.
I got stung by a bee like a couple months back. I was hiking, and then I got stung on the ear, but then just messed up like my whole freaking lobe. Like for like a week, it was just like I was sore. It was bad. It sucked.
Is that why your head's like that?
The roasting session. Guys. By the way, everyone, that was not the roasting session. That was just Marco Sanchez being Marco Sanchez.
I ain't
going to
take no lip from some off-camera guy, all right? Stay in
I've never been
1970s automobile.
Thank you, Paul. I've never been stung by anything. I've owned a scorpion. It never stung me. You know, I've been around bees. I've never gotten stung. Sure enough, after church or after the podcast here, I'm going to get stung or something. How many of you guys actually been stung by something? What? A bee?
Bee
mosquitoes don't sting, bro. Mosquitoes bite, son.
No.
Oh, what are you? Yes. Did you cry?
I did.
What about you?
Hornet?
You got what does it feel
hornet,
like?
Bro.
Yeah.
He's like, no big deal.
Yeah, but this ain't the same type of hornet. So that guy,
they
Coyote
call it a
Peterson,
murder hornet, bro.
This guy, Coyote Peterson on YouTube, like, basically he, like, gets stung by, like, all the worst stings. I think that was, like, number 3 or 4, like, on the list. Like,
it was worse than the...
And the reason... Yeah, so it would have been, like, number 2, but the reason is because when he was, like, just walking around in Japan, he found some, like, undiscovered thing that he never seen before, like, most people haven't seen before. Then he got... Then he stung himself with that thing, and then that he was like, well, this is worse.
When you say undiscovered, you're talking about like an insect was undiscovered?
Yeah, like some type of wasp or giant like wasp or hornet.
Yeah, typically when something is like you've never seen something, you want to be careful.
Yeah,
you know
he stings himself and then he like tells you like how it feels. He's like, oh, it's like.
He's like, it feels like death. And
he dies.
Is his real name Coyote?
His arm gets pretty bad.
If your name's Coyote, you know.
Right. It's not real, is it?
Dude, the guy's is pretty much savage.
He catches him and then he puts him in like a little jar and then has like these forceps that he grabs the bug with.
Then he puts
it
on his arm.
The guy's like a masochist, bro.
Yeah. He just stings his forearms.
Research.
Research on. Yeah, that's my research. He's my research.
Anna.
You research by someone else. You know what I mean? You don't become the research project.
Field research.
You observe the way of the fool.
Watch everybody else make the mistakes.
That's ridiculous. Well, we'll see what the murder hornets do. I don't think. I mean, the murder hornets. They're making it, from what I've heard, is like they're going to sting people, but I think
they
what
kill
it is,
people every year in Japan.
Oh, okay, never mind.
People die
from
that
makes
year.
Sense then.
If you get attacked by like a swarm of them, you're dead.
Wow.
You can't get them off you.
They're samurai hornets?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, they have swords and like little like so you know those like
how So they're just really poisonous or
they just it, the pain just really like it'll put you in an anaphylactic, it'll put you in shock like cuz it's the pain so much like if they start stinging you all over the place like you're going to freaking die.
That means they're worse than the locusts from hell. Because the locusts from hell torment men for 5 months.
Well, I bet the torment's probably worse, but you can't die, which may make it worse.
That's true. Yeah, because dying would be better, right?
I don't want to get stung by either.
Yeah, even when I got stung by that little honeybee, I mean, dude, it's bad. It's not good. I don't even like shots. I'd rather get shot than get a shot, maybe.
Shot? Like
that's
with a gun?
With a bullet. Dramatic. Then maybe get a shot.
Like you rather just take a bullet than a bee sting?
Because, you know, it just comes real fast. Like, you don't really get him in here.
Yeah, I'll take the bee sting over the bullet.
Yeah, I'll take the bee sting.
Well, I did get shot before.
You might not survive the bullet,
I did
bro.
Get shot before, and it didn't hurt. Like, it just, like, I just didn't feel it. No, with the gun, bro. It was a 22, though, so it's not that much bigger. No, 22. Let me shoot you with the 22. You tell me it's a BB gun.
I think I'll take the bee sting over the gun any day.
Playing. I'm just talking about Evan, bro. You're next.
Hey, you got to save that, man. That's at the end of the show. By the way, those of you watching, stick around to the end. We got a roasting session at the end. Brought to you in part by Ray Flores, the man who's been stung by the bee.
Brought to you in part by dorks.
Well, the content is from the dorks. But Ray Flores is the one who put it together, so we're looking for All right, let's get into some of the topics for tonight, right? And you know, one of the topics that we've been sitting on for quite some time is the subject of QAnon. Okay. Now, the topic of QAnon is actually pretty popular on the internet, and in fact, it's almost guaranteed that someone watching this has either heard of QAnon or has heard of it and believes it, and believe it to be a good thing.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Right. So we want to approach this from a biblical perspective. What is QAnon? Where did it come from? How does it work? And then how does it affect mainstream Christianity? Because that's what's really, really important. Yep. You know, this is a Christian podcast. It's a Baptist podcast. And so we not only want to look at daily events and see what's going on, but we want to filter it through the lens of the Bible, right?
Right.
So let's go ahead and talk about this. Ray, what you got for us? What is QAnon?
It started around the time of the Trump campaign, about early 2016, maybe late 2015. And it started basically on 4chan, I believe.
Which is
like an anonymous chat.
Yeah. By the way, QAnon stands for Q Anonymous.
Yeah, anonymous. Yeah. So basically it was like one person that claimed to be a high-level intelligence official or someone that would be in Trump's administration, a high-level person to him, and they're dropping basically, you know, his plans, his agenda, or even like classified documents, stuff like that. Like,
now, people looking at conspiracies, they can write this off as just being just another fringe conspiracy where it's just like,
yeah,
well, this is not true. This is just something that people made up. But when you actually look into it, you actually come out realizing that this is basically Trump's propaganda network.
Yeah.
And it is a psychological operation.
Yeah, it shouldn't be written off, that's for sure.
Yeah, it shouldn't be written off as just stupid nonsense and ridiculous. There is validity to this. Now, by the way, we're not saying that we're for it, though.
Absolutely not.
Okay. You know, this is actually, in our opinion, QAnon is one of the building blocks to establish the New World Order. Okay, yeah. And we'll get into that in just a bit. And so you got something to say, Milan?
Yeah, I was going to say, it kind of goes off, just kind of piggybacking what you were talking about how that's kind of the agenda of the New World Order. And in one of the recent sermons you had in talking about Babylon, for example, it's when you look at it from the lens of what QAnon is pushing in their agenda, you see more of a patriot view than that globalistic view, which is you kind of have those two at odds with each other right now. And this in itself, the whole QAnon and how it's getting more publicized and it's spreading throughout the internet has kind of created a bigger division between the two camps already. So you can kind of see, and one's obviously, just looking at it from outside perspective, one's already stronger than the other as far as...
And they get millions of views. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking about those who follow QAnon and foment the information.
They get a lot of views.
They get tons of views, which is showing that they get tons of followers. And their influence is expanding.
Yeah, exactly. And the two camps that he's talking about is basically, you know, globalism or liberalism. That sect are elitists, right?
Right.
And then a patriot movement, maybe more of a grassroots, middle class patriot. It's basically bringing back the middle class, right? So, like, most people that follow that would be middle class.
Right.
Patriot movement. And basically because, a lot of things that they're pushing. So, it's like right now you get, like, let's take the coronavirus, for example, and a lot of people, even within the movement stuff, have, like, put out, like, hey, they'll find some fact, and they'll be like, oh, look at this, right? Like, look at this. Like, this is kind of corrupt, kind of weird. Like, the numbers aren't right, this or that, UN or the World Health Organization. But what they don't realize is that, you know, days before they even put that out, like, it was already put out by Q. So it's like you're kind of repeating what they're saying. Because the stuff that they're saying is, like, legit stuff, right? Like, so it's like... But it's just like their motive behind it isn't legit.
Yeah.
But the stuff that they're putting out, like, hey, the World Health Organization is corrupt. I mean, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? So that's why it has credibility.
Right.
You know, so.
And honestly, like, when you think about QAnon, the people that it's influencing the most, obviously you think of conservatives, Republicans, but it's delving into the group, the conspiracy groups, which is important because, you know, let's say, for example, Zionism. Right.
Yep.
Or, you know, we're against Zionism, and people who believe in conspiracies, so-called, most people know and understand that Zionism is corrupt, it's wicked, and it's responsible for a lot of the evils in this world. Yeah. And so you think of that, and it's just like, oh yeah, but those are those weird people who believe in those conspiracies about that the Jews rule the world, and you know they believe that, you know, there's fluoride in the tap water, that, you know, vaccines are bad. Well, these same people who criticize us for that, now they're biting into QAnon.
Yeah.
You know? And it's kind of like their version of conspiracy where they're, and they say, well, this is actually legitimate though, because there is valid evidence of the president of the United States making references and cueing, saying yep. certain statements as if he's addressing this anonymous group here.
It definitely caters to the right, and more specifically right. to the conspiracy theorists of, yeah. of the right.
It caters to that. Yeah. Now, yeah. why is that?
Well, because basically he already had like the other crowd locked, right? So more like people, more moderate people, or even the older crowd, or like the boomers, because he has, like, you know, so for like the older crowd or even more like moderate people, he's got Fox News, and on there yeah. he has Sean Hannity, he right. has Tucker Carlson, and these guys have the most views at their time. So like CNN is behind them, yeah. MSNBC is behind them. So Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity, they get mad views, right?
Yeah, they're killing it.
So they're killing it. But then he also has the alt-right media. So he has like all these like private media companies, more like guys who built their own businesses, basically like small business media companies. This is the guys like Jack Posobiec, Mike Cernovich. You could even count Alex Jones for that. But there's like Turning Point USA, Rebel Media. There's just Candace Owens. You have like all these people, Steven Crowder. So you have all these guys, and they're all pro-Trump. So that's like more of like a legitimate thing, right?
Right.
It's right. It's out in the open. It's not anonymous at all. Mm-hmm. But they're all promoting his same agenda. And then Fox News will take some of the points they'll put out and then put it on Fox News. Right?
So think about this. So like, for example, you're saying that he has these outlets.
Yeah, so he has right? he has like a trifecta of outlets there. So he has Fox News, alt-right media, then he has QAnon for like the people who are like, you know,
for the conspiracy theorists.
The real hard, yeah. the conspiracy theorists.
For the ones who,
so he got
like,
everybody on lock.
The ones who are awake.
Yeah.
Right? Now, let me ask you this. So what is he using to get to that group? Because this is important. Well, what are some of the agendas that he's putting forth that's really attracting that group?
Well, he's exposing the deep state. So deep basically state. He's yeah. exposing all the globalism that's been going on that we've been seeing for decades.
Because when we think of globalism, what do we think of?
United Nations, central banking order. Systems.
Right. I mean, that's something that we fought against yeah. ardently, and we know that is associated with the New World Order. So when you think of globalism, you think of the UN, and even its ties into liberalism and all that, we understand that these are the stepping stones to the New World Order. So if he's fighting against that,
yeah.
then he's got the conspiracy theorist in his pocket.
Oh, big time.
And but that's not the only thing, though. Because he's also, what's another agenda that would even attract some people that are within our circles?
Well, Israel.
Israel.
He's for Israel. And prior to him, the administration before him, the Obama administration, was making deals with Iran. And, you know, the Israelis are calling him anti-Semitic. He's making deals that he made the Iranian deal, right? And that was a big thing that
well, let's that we're going to get into that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the pedophile rings, though. Because that's huge.
It's huge.
You know, for anybody who's a conservative, Republican, or conspiracy theorist, yeah. I mean, this is something, if you are a lover of truth.
Yeah.
That's something you got to have in your category, which is you're completely against pedophilia. You know about the pedophilia rings. You know about Pizzagate. Right, you know about all these things that are taking place.
That's what kicked it off to really exacerbate this. So
yeah.
basically the John Podesta emails, which was the campaign manager of Hillary Clinton, who was also the White House chief of staff, I believe it's called, for the White House of Bill Clinton, right? This mm-hmm. guy named John Podesta. His brother's Tony Podesta, and these guys are big-time lobbyists in Washington, D.C. They're mega rich, right? So these guys, it's been known that Tony Podesta, the older brother, had, like, pedophile paintings, right? Pedophile, like, he'll basically have, like, art.
Yeah, just
and it's
filth.
Like, yes,
yeah, filth all over his house.
Hell, right?
Yeah, you don't want to
see him and his brother.
Well, what happened, so John Podesta's emails got hacked and went on WikiLeaks.
Right.
And when that happened, in there was all these code words, pedophile code words, like,
pizza.
You know, yeah, which had this to do cheese, pizza, child porn, pedophilia. Or, yeah, exactly,
right.
pedophilia code words. Well, what happened was that pizza parlor had art from the same artist that sold the art to Tony Podesta, mm-hmm. the same pedophile art.
Coincidence?
Now the art that's in the pizza parlor isn't pedophile art, but it's made by the same artist.
Right.
Is that Abramovich?
So that's what, no.
No,
it's
no,
just,
no,
it's just
no.
a separate
Abramovich
artist,
is the
right?
lady who's responsible for the spirit cooking.
Yes, right. because okay. in the emails, right, there was like invites going out that he would send like to people like, hey, are you going to the Abramovich, the spirit cooking tonight? Like, oh, we're going to do, yeah, so they're doing the spirit cooking, and that was basically
yeah.
in the emails. So
it what
all
I'm saying
from
is that
WikiLeaks
QAnon
emails.
is the stuff they put out is that basically Trump is going to put an end to the pedophilia rings.
Yeah.
And that's attracting a lot of people.
And you could go
that's
look.
It's so dangerous, too, is yeah. because if someone comes out and says, well, I don't think it's that bad, maybe he shouldn't go that far
and it's a pedophile ring, then it's going to make those people opposing it look really wicked.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why wouldn't you want to expose right. the people that he's
That's why to. We would consider it to be like his propaganda network, because right. it's putting this out and it's showing that Trump is against this evil. He's seeking to have a campaign against this to expose all this darkness, and people like that stuff.
Yep.
Right.
They're like, oh man, maybe this guy is a righteous guy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he is bringing justice. We like the fact that he is kind of promoting the values and the ethics that we stand for, you know, and he, no one else has taken on the pedophilia rings.
Yeah.
What other president you know who's done that? Mm-hmm. You know, what other president you know that has stood for these values? Maybe there's something to him.
Yeah, because people will be like, well, what? Well, where is it at? How come he hasn't exposed it? But this is the thing is that, I mean, he has done stuff. So basically, his whole thing was the wall, right? And we know that the people who traffic drugs are the same avenues and the same tunnels that they traffic humans.
Yeah, people.
Right? The coyotes, right?
Right.
And we know, and you could go look up the articles. So since he's been elected, so 2017, 18, I mean, there's been big busts. Even in Los Angeles, Southern California, like hundreds of people getting busted for mm-hmm. human trafficking. And then now, and on April 1st, when this coronavirus started, on April 1st, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, well, he came out to the presidential podium, right? And one of those, I think it was like one of the first, I think it was like the second week of those news conferences he has every day. And he basically declared war on the cartel.
Mm-hmm.
So basically he shifted all American special operations to that sector,
yeah.
to basically South America and Mexico. And he's basically moved all Navy SEALs, all special operations to the waters there.
Yeah, so basically he's making
Mexican
moves.
Gulf. Yeah,
he's making moves, and he's not just talking the talk, he's walking the walk. And that's catching the attention of the conservative, Republican, and even conspiracy groups. And in fact, a lot of the reason why these people like Trump so much is because he's savage.
Yeah.
He is savage. You know, and they like that.
Even I kind of like it when he's out there punking those liberal reporters. Wait,
what? What'd you say?
Like, even when he's out there punking those liberal reporters, I mean, I'm laughing.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's funny.
Yeah.
it's very polarizing for sure. But kind of going back to the whole the pedophilia ring and things like that, like kind of what Ray was mentioning, it's if you look for it, you can find some of it. And that's the crazy thing is it's not going to be publicized on some of these mainstream news media outlets and things like that. If you're looking for it, you can find it, which kind of gives a little bit more validity to the accuracy of what Q is saying and some of the posts. And kind of what we're talking about now, that the way they're posting, I mean, if I wanted to look it up myself, you can just type in like QAnon post and it's going to bring up a couple forums and you can go down there. And it gets a little crazy because you start to see things that they'll point to, because you'll look at some of the YouTubers, some of the ones that cover some of the Q posts, and they'll actually backtrack it a few years and kind of show what's happening now. And with this whole coronavirus thing, it's kind of amped everything up.
Well, it's bringing more validity to what it is, basically, because if you go a couple years back to their post, it would almost seem as though they're predicting these things.
Yeah, which gives it like some type of like religious or spiritual component, like as if God, and they claim that God's
in the eyes of those who are religious, in the eyes of those who believe in the Bible and have a biblical understanding of things, or they filter things through a biblical understanding.
Yep.
To them, it's just like, oh man, this is like being foretold.
Yeah, God must be for this.
God must be for it. And you know, one of the things that you see, like for example, in the old IFB or just in Christian groups in general, is this matter of Zionism, right? Yep. And so, you know, they're for Zionism, but they're against the deep state, which we're against both, right? But QAnon is against the deep state as well.
Yeah,
you know, their agenda is to stop the deep state.
Real hush hush about Zionism.
Hush hush about Zionism. And in fact, when they're approached about Zionism, they're saying we're leaving that until the end.
Yep.
Right. Well, come on, guys. I mean, if you study end times Bible prophecy, I mean, it's just truth in plain sight. And look, folks, you can't be a true conspiracy theorist if you believe in Zionism, period.
Yeah.
Or if you're for Zionism, okay? And look, you can't say that you believe, you know, that the Bible matches up with what QAnon is teaching if you are for Zionism. Because of the fact that the Bible explicitly teaches against Zionism in multiple places, Romans chapter 2, Ephesians 2, Galatians 3 and 4, you know, Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we see it multiple times throughout the Bible that the Bible condemns this movement of propagating the Jews according to the flesh, Israel according to the flesh, which is exactly what they're not doing. They're seeking to expose this false enemy, you know what I mean, which is the deep state. I'm not saying they're not wicked, but what I think it is just a sleight of hand.
Yeah.
Now, let's get into this, because you know, Trump came out and he said this, and I mentioned this in the sermon. You know, he said the credo, our new credo, is Americanism, not globalism. Mm-hmm. Well, to the person who is not, you know, they're somewhat ignorant of end times Bible prophecy, that sounds good. Because we've been fighting globalism. We know what it leads to. And hey, you know, if you're an American, you're a patriot, you believe in nationalism, this sounds like he's going to basically impede the New World Order. Yep. But let's be honest, nothing's going to impede the New World Order.
Exactly.
Nothing's going to stop it. Yeah. This is already foretold in the Bible.
The other thing that the QAnon, the focusing on that really kind of takes away from is the aspect of the true spiritual enemy. It makes the enemy, those in the deep state that are in those pedophile rings or trying to bring corruption into politics.
They are wicked.
But it allows people to look at a political leader as a savior.
Right.
And you see that a lot.
It places the faith on the White House,
yeah.
Not on God's house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not in the Lord, not in the Bible.
Right.
It's all physical.
It's a physical enemy. And what it is just Satan casting out Satan.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Because it's a sleight of hand where the enemy has changed. And look, folks, you know, what is it that's going to usher in the New World Order? It's not globalism.
Nope.
Globalism has now evolved into nationalism. Mm-hmm. It's going to evolve into patriotism. It's going to evolve into Americanism. Now, why is that?
Well, because they're going to bring on the state of Israel. So, you know, those are the two players, and those are the two players that we're seeing with Trump, and he's for Israel. That's
and
his main
Babylon,
ally. America, and Babylon and Israel, and that's what's going on right now.
It's like, America's Babylon.
Right.
The United States of America is Mystery Babylon. Amen. And just keep in mind that in the book of Revelation, we see in Revelation chapter 13 and 17, we see that the great whore sitteth upon the scarlet-colored beast mm-hmm. that has seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. This is referring to, you know, symbolizing the Antichrist in his empire. Yeah. And the mystery Babylon, the whore, represents that nation mm-hmm. that's going to basically help the Antichrist get into power. And what nation is that? What's the nation that it's the one world superpower? It's the one that's going to basically help the Antichrist get into power, give it the military might that it needs in order to establish his new world order, which is the eighth kingdom and is of the seventh. The seventh is the United States.
Yep.
You know, that's how QAnon ties into end times Babylon.
Yeah.
And not only that, too, on top of how it ties in with Babylon as well, it kind of creeps into mainstream Christianity and this ideology of ushering in the kingdom, so to speak. So
yeah.
It really plays into that. And I can see a lot of Christians that maybe don't have a position or a stance on end times prophecy, which I think is important to understand what it is.
Yeah.
But you're going to have a lot of people, a lot of Christians, quote unquote, because the enemy is getting defeated.
Well,
let's
define that. What does that mean when they talk about ushering in the kingdom? By the way, you know, this is a false doctrine, folks.
Yeah.
It's a false doctrine.
Yeah.
What this is teaching is that, you know, Christians, you have Calvinists, for example, Jeff Durbin is one of them,
yep.
who believes that, you know, it's important that Christians permeate all political realms, all high places, all stores, that we Christianize the United States of America, the world. And this is how we're going to usher in the kingdom. So they believe that the millennial reign that the Bible talks about is going to be established not by Christ coming and making war with the Antichrist, you know, at the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 19, he just decimates everything and then establishes his millennial reign. They believe that the millennial reign will be established when Christians permeate all of society.
Yeah.
But hold on a second. Come on. Yeah, it is a face palm. You know? Because of the fact that it's not Christians who are going to permeate all of society in the end times.
Right.
Folks, Revelation chapter 6, the Bible tells us that the Antichrist goes forth conquering and to conquer.
Yeah.
Okay? He's the one who is conquering the world. He's the one who's establishing his structure for the new world order. It's not going to be Christians. Folks, Christians are dying in the end times.
Right.
You know, the fifth seal, John sees under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. How does that fit into ushering in the kingdom?
Right.
Doesn't fit.
No.
Christians are being martyred. You got to read Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. These scriptures tell us that the enemy of the state in the end times.
Yeah.
It's going to be Christians.
Yep.
We're not ushering in anything. Okay? Exactly. The Antichrist, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, are going to be the ones who are ushering in their kingdom, which is the New World Order. You know, that's why this is dangerous, and I'm glad Milan brought this up.
Yeah, because, you know, when God's kingdom's set up, it's not going to be ushering. No. It's going to be coming with a rod of iron. He's going to dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Because ushering is just like, we just transition into this.
Yeah.
No, folks.
Hey, how's it going?
Jesus is going to come. He's coming on a white horse, and he's going to destroy them with the brightness of his coming and the sword of his mouth. He's going to subjugate the entire world. He's not taking a vote. Jesus is not taking a vote to see if he can rule and reign here on this earth. He's going to subjugate, and if you're not, you know, if you're not with him, you're against him.
Yep.
And he's not going to send secret messages online. Some code, you know what I mean? To get people to rally to his cause.
Yeah.
You know, he is...
He's not going to be anonymous.
Nope.
Yeah. When he comes,
you're going to... Hey, every eye shall see him.
Yeah, when you see him, you're going to know who he is.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the thing, too. I don't know.
Think about that.
When you believe in, like, in a pre-trib rapture, too, this sets up perfectly for that. Oh, yeah. If you believe you're ushering in a kingdom, and even if you're not a Christian, but you're with the QAnon stuff where you think you're getting rid of the deep state, getting rid of the bad guys... You're only leaving room for someone that's going to come in and proclaim to be God. What are you going to do when when the Antichrist claims to be above any God that's ever existed?
Right.
When you see fire come down from heaven, when you see a false prophet confirming him, you know, people are going to fall for that because they say,
they're going to be like, hey, behold, he is in the secret chambers. It's anonymous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing about QAnon, too. It's like, I mean, it's anonymous. Like, how is that? Something that's of God. Like whenever was God anonymous?
Never.
I mean, where's the sword of the Lord and what's the sword of the Lord and Gideon? Like, you know what I mean? Like, when does God ever slay someone anonymously? Like, you know what I mean? It's just like right in the middle of the field. Like, hey, you circumcised Philistine. Like, you want it? You about to get it, boy? Whack! Cut his head off and like hold it up in front of everybody. Like, that's how God works.
He's the Bible says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
Yeah.
But he that doeth truth cometh to the light,
that
his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The Bible tells us that if you are of God, you just make manifest everything you got.
Yep.
Right.
Because you don't have anything to hide. You're not anonymous.
Yeah.
That's why we upload all our sermons. That's why we're open about what we believe. We're not anonymous about our doctrine. You know, Jesus told us to preach it from the housetops, right? To lift up our voice like a trumpet, cry aloud and spare not, and show my people their transgression. Cry aloud and spare not. You know, the word of God should not be put under a bushel, the Bible says.
Exactly.
You know, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, we're not supposed to keep everything covered under a bushel, anonymous. That, according to the Bible, that's evil. Because then you got something to hide. When you make something obscure, you know, it's enigmatic, you know, that there's something wrong about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Bible says,
what do you guys think?
For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Yeah. Amen.
Which that ties to
it's weak because they like these dorks on the internet. They like claim this is like the second American Revolution, but it's like what a like whack comparison that is. Like at least those guys like fought on the battlefield. Like these guys like call themselves like keyboard warriors. Like they actually digital soldiers. That's what they call themselves.
That's what they are.
Sounds like a Bob Marley song.
Yeah. Like that's pretty weak.
Instead of Buffalo Soldiers, it's digital soldiers. Dreadlock master.
Caps lock master. He's saying it, they're all yelling.
Digital soldier. Caps lock master. Oh man.
Yeah, they're gonna get mad if they watch this. But woo, hey bro, make sure if you're gonna write me, have that caps lock on. At Paratrooper Flow on Twitter.
do they really say that? Digital soldier?
Digital soldier, bro. They'd be like, you know, yeah, that's digital soldier.
Digital really soldier. Caps lock master.
Gay.
Keyboard gay. They take pride in that, or what?
They have mad pride in that, bro.
Dude, that's like the lamest thing I've ever heard.
And the Rona gives them, like, you know, I mean, they're on the battlefield right now. They're like, you know, it's time for war. The Rona, like, they all stay home and, like, hop online. And, like,
why are they frogs? Have you seen that? They're like, the frog meme?
Because of Alex Jones. I don't know. Alex Jones,
the frogs are gay.
All I know is that one thing's associated with frogs is gay. You know what I mean?
Hey, doesn't Doesn't the Bible say the false prophet, the Antichrist, and Satan, they're gonna, the frogs are gonna come forth out of them, referring to those lying spirits.
That's something I thought about. I just didn't know.
Okay.
Well, at the end of the day, it's the spirit of deception is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, let's approach this from a biblical perspective, okay? We're not talking about from just a conspiracy perspective. We got to approach this from a Bible perspective.
Yeah.
Right. And look, does it add up? No, it doesn't.
No.
You know,
no.
And Bible-believing Christians should have nothing to do with QAnon.
Right.
You know, it's obscure. It's secretive. It's not manifest as the Bible tells us to be.
Yep.
Okay, and if it's true, then why are they covering it up? Yeah. Why is it so obscure? If it's true, you know, something that's truth should be published, should be proclaimed from the housetops.
Yeah.
Okay, and then another thing, how does this fit in to end times Bible prophecy? You know, you cannot skirt around the biblical prophetic timeline.
Yeah,
I'm not for the New World Order. I'm against the New World Order. We're against the Antichrist. We're against all these things. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's going to happen because the Bible foretells it.
Yep.
You know, it prophesied of it. It's going to happen, you know, because I've had people tell me, like, hey, do you think Trump's going to, like, impede the New World Order? I was like, nope. In fact, he's probably very instrumental into bringing it in, you know. And let me just repeat that again, is Americanism, nationalism, patriotism will be the new credo of the New World Order.
Yeah. It amazes me that some people think you can become the president or get into some high political power and not get the help of Satan.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, seriously, come
people
on.
Been saying that forever, but now all of a sudden, because it's Trump, now like now.
Oh, because
over,
he's exposing
like,
the pedophiles.
Now he's some sort of
because he's
magnified.
Exposing the deep state.
Right.
All of a sudden, that's the exception to the
now
rule.
Now the president of America is a good guy. Come on, dude. Get real,
folks. Babylon, America is Babylon, and Babylon's going to be destroyed in 1 hour.
Yep.
Who do people even say Babylon is if they don't point to America? Like, what
I don't even think they even know Bible prophecy like that.
No, I don't think there's not the.
Yeah, I think.
Well, the majority of people, like I guarantee you, the majority of the people who follow QAnon don't even know, don't have no idea.
No, but they have, like, they're completely biblically illiterate. Like, I've seen so many posts where they're just pulling scripture out of context, trying to prove Q, and I'm thinking to myself, like, they're not, like, a lot of them probably not 100% not saved, you know? I don't know. I have a hard time believing some of those people.
And look, if you're watching this, and maybe you were duped by QAnon and you see some valid points that we made, and you know, you may believe in the Lord, but you're not saved. You're not 100% sure that if you die today, you go to heaven. You know, you need to get saved today.
Right. And that's
you know,
way
believe
more
on the Lord Jesus. That's way more important
than some stupid
believe
post,
on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Hey, what if salvation was like done anonymously? It was just obscure. We don't really know
that
how
that would
say.
Not be good.
That's like,
that's something that God wants us to know.
Somebody calls themselves a truther and does not end up being saved.
Right.
You know, because you're not really a truther.
Yeah, let me repeat what Brother Hyde just said. You know, if you call yourself a truther and you don't come, the conclusion of your research doesn't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you're not really a truther.
He's the way, the truth, and the life.
He is the way, the truth. He's
the
source of all
truth. By him.
Yeah.
And here's the thing is the QAnon people that are really, like, they'll die by it. They'll live by it. They're not thinking past their life. Like, okay, what if, you know, Trump gets reelected and then the deep state gets exposed? Okay, that's great.
It's their best.
But
life now.
That's the best thing that could ever happen to them. But you know what? The worst thing is that they die and they go to hell. And then all that stuff was in vain anyways.
Hey,
so
what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's what the Bible
says.
You know, and most of the people who are involved in QAnon who follow it religiously, mm-hmm. they think that salvation comes through a political realm.
Yeah, they're doing good works for it and like being on that side.
I'm all for God's government.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the Bible says that the government shall be upon his shoulders. Right. You know, but I'm only going to be heavily involved in politics and government in the millennial reign.
Yeah.
And when I'm ruling and reigning.
Way I'll be heavily involved.
Oh, heavily involved.
I'm trying to be heavily involved.
I'm talking about the rod of iron.
Yeah.
Dashing in pieces. You know, those who are wicked and vile and who God hates. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm talking about right there. That's the real government.
And I think it's worth keeping a big eye on with the election coming up, because how is it going to be handled if Trump somehow doesn't win and he's not elected? What happens?
I think he is going to win.
Oh, he's going to win.
He's going to win.
Yeah. Who he's going up against.
Yeah. Right.
It's already over.
Okay. We've already spent too much time on this, but let me just say make this comment, okay? first of all, Joe Biden, okay?
Yeah.
Sleepy Joe.
There's so many memes and videos on Joe Biden just acting a fool. Just like a senile, idiotic, just pedophile. Moron. But hold on a second. That's not an accident, folks.
Yeah. Nope.
He's playing the role.
Yeah.
You know what he's doing? He's making Trump look good.
Yeah.
True.
You know? Because if you see Joe Biden's things that he does and the things that he forgets to say and the slip ups and you still like that guy,
right.
Dude, you got rocks in your head.
Yeah. Well, I think what Q is kind of talking about too is that it's almost like a setup for a replacement. So they're thinking that, I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know
what we're going to see.
Yeah, I think they said like either Michelle Obama or Hillary would somehow be involved in this next election because of what we're seeing come forth. Because
of how bad
Sleepy Joe's. Yeah, his the way he's presenting himself.
The country's so polarized at this point that there's no way. There's just no way.
I think he's going to be president, and I could be wrong, but I think it's leaning towards that way.
You look at a coup. Yeah. Which would exacerbate his agenda.
Right.
So even if he loses, you're still going to. He's not going anywhere.
Mm-mm. Well, especially if this is the devil's play, and nationalism is the New World Order's agenda, or the way that they're going to go. I mean, how can you not say that right. Trump's going
to
get reelected?
Look, folks, when the Roman Empire existed, it was a privilege to be a Roman.
Yeah.
To be a nationalist.
True.
In like manner, people want to be American.
Yep.
Right.
So put a fork in it.
Yeah, but through all this, though, I do hope that, especially stuff that we're doing, having this conversation about, something that's gaining popularity, I hope that people in this would just wake up and see the truth. Because there's, been not just this, but, other things that would draw people's attention, whether it be, the whole, marching to Zion, exposing Zionism. People got attracted to that stuff, and they may not necessarily were involved in, Christianity, anything like that, but that is actually what opened the door for them to get saved. Similar to the whole vaccine thing. So, yeah. There's more important things than just what that fight is.
If you're saved and you're listening to this, you just need to get your eyes off of the fake fight and get into the real fight.
Yeah.
The fight that's not real is the fight in the political arena.
Right.
The real fight is against spiritual wickedness in high places. The real war is fought over it's a war over the souls of men.
Right.
It's a war over proclaiming the truth, preaching the gospel, preaching the word of God, saving souls, teaching people. The Bible tells us, look, if you really want to be awake, the Bible says this, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. Yeah. And those of you who adhere to QAnon, you better really wake up.
Yeah.
Awake to righteousness, sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. It doesn't say not the knowledge of Trump.
Right.
Some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. Amen. So. Let's take some. I got some emails here, questions for the podcast. So you guys can pipe in if you'd like to. The Dude, that's his name.
The Dude.
Give a shout out to The Dude. It says, "Hello, Pastor. My name is Lee Miller, okay. And my question is: if I wanted to go soul winning, but I couldn't find a soul, did you say okay? Oh, I thought I heard someone say okay.
I did.
That was me. But I couldn't find a soul winning." Or a once saved, always saved Baptist church to go with or to refer the person I'm witnessing to, should I still go soul winning on my own, or am I supposed to go with the church only? Only churches in my area and are charismatic holiness churches or charismatic Pentecostals who are extremely lost on salvation, workspace, sinless perfection. So this is my stance on it. Ideally, it's best for you to just find the best local New Testament church in your area. And right. If there's not one in your immediate area, find one that's far away.
Yeah.
We have people that drive 2 hours to our church. We've even had people who drive 3 hours from, to come to our church. And you say, well, there's a church that's 3 hours away, but it's not that good. Well, if they do some soul winning, if they're preaching out of the King James Bible, if it's a Baptist church, that's a great church.
Yep.
That's better than what most people have throughout the world.
Yeah.
But if you think to yourself, well, I don't even have that. I don't have a good local New Testament church in my area or a good local New Testament church further away. And I want to do some soul winning. Well, here's assuming that you do know how to preach the gospel, then you would have to go by yourself, your family with you. Or, if you have another believer who you're friends with, go with them. But let me say this. If you've never been soul winning ever in your life and you think you know how to preach the gospel, you probably don't know how to preach the gospel.
I would say, too, just from living in Utah, it's almost a similar situation because you've either got extreme Mormonism everywhere. I mean, they've got angels and temples and all that. That's how they base their whole state.
Yeah.
It's so deep there. It's really dark. But if you don't have those people, you have a lot of Pentecostals. You have a lot of charismatics that are trying to usher in the kingdom. And if you try to go soul winning with somebody like that, that you shouldn't be agreeing with doctrinally, it's just going to create more problems.
Yeah, don't go with anybody from a Pentecostal. that would not be a good idea.
Because you'll be saying two different things. You know, you'll be telling somebody you need to get saved, and the other person will be telling them, no, you need to speak in tongues or heal this guy to prove you're one of us.
That's something I would definitely not recommend, you know. Yeah. So I would say, you know, join yourself to a Baptist church that's closest to you. When I say closest to you, it could be a couple hours away, but it's worth it, okay? Yeah. And so that's our advice to you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's another thing. Yeah.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Hey, if you don't know how to soul win, you need to attend one of the conferences in our movement. You know, whether it's the Make America Straight Again Part 2, it's the Red Hot Preaching Conference with Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento, California. Right. You know, it's one of these conferences, because these conferences, they actually do soul winning. So you can learn there. And so that is our recommendation to you. Brother Joseph, man, I'm going to butcher this last name. Gudishvili? Gudishvili.
Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds about right. Why does the Apostle Paul say, I, a prisoner of our Lord Jesus Christ? Why does he call himself a prisoner? Short answer is because that's exactly what he was. He was in prison for preaching the gospel. And, you know, he was in prison for preaching the word of God that belonged to the Lord. And so I believe that's found in and you see that in Philippians, where he's literally imprisoned. Mm-hmm. And then he also talks about it in 1st and 2nd Timothy, when he's writing to Timothy, and he says, be not ashamed of my testimony, a testimony of Jesus Christ, nor of my testimony. I'm butchering the verse here. You know, he's the prisoner of the Lord. So it's referring to the fact that he was literally arrested and placed in prison for preaching the word of God. So that's what that is all about. Anybody got anything else you want to say about that? I think that's pretty self-explanatory there. Let's see here. All right, James McLeod, man, I'm sorry, guys. Hi, Pastor Mejia. Just a quick question about what the baptized in the name of Jesus in Acts.
Maybe Acts 2:38 is what they're.
Is that what he's referring to? Who wants to answer that?
I would assume so.
I come from a little town in Scotland called Falkirk. We have an old IFB church in the area, which is growing, and a good little remnant of new IFB style believers in attendance. We are so blessed to have that a few miles away from where I live, as there are not many in Scotland or even the whole of the UK. I very much appreciate what you're doing. I was hoping to meet you at the trip to Belfast, but that's not going ahead. It's unfortunate, but hopefully it will be rearranged. Thanks again. And my prayers are with you, your family, and your church. Yeah, so this is what they use. Go ahead.
The verse he's talking about is in Acts 2:38. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
So, you know, people want to use that to teach a Jesus-only baptism. Yeah. But, you know, if that's your scripture, your key scripture to say that that's what you have to baptize in, then you have to completely disregard Matthew 28:19-20.
Yeah. Right.
Where he commands us to preach in the name of the Father, to baptize, excuse me, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So Matthew 28 is your exhaustive instruction on how to preach and baptize.
By him himself.
By him himself.
His own mouth, right?
Exactly, by him himself. What you see in Acts chapter 2 is a concise, okay? It's a synopsis of what you see in Matthew 28. If not, if you said, no, it says you got to baptize in the name of Jesus, then you have to completely disregard and ignore Matthew 28, where Jesus Christ himself gives that commission to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. These are your oneness Pentecostal idiots who try to do, you know, they say we baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and that name is Jesus. That's what they'll say, right?
Right.
But that's false. That's wicked. You know, they'll try to teach that Jesus is the Father, where we believe in a Trinitarian doctrine that teaches the biblical doctrine that, you know, it's one God, three persons in that one God, okay, the Godhead. And so I hope that makes sense. Anybody want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I mean, just to confirm what you're saying, just go to 1 John 5:7, and that will just spell out exactly what, you know, awesome description of what the Trinity is. And
yeah.
It's as simple as you don't need to overthink it, because I think a lot of people, especially a lot of time during the like exposure of some of these oneness Pentecostals that were in our circle, you know, that was one thing that it just, I don't know, you're just overthinking it. Just look at the scripture. That's all you
people need to always remember.
Specifically, they were devils.
Oh, of course, yeah.
People need to always remember that, you know, God writes, he writes things a certain way for these people to kind of, he kind of gives them enough rope to hang themselves with, as in, you know, if you're saved, you already have that knowledge of him, right? That being the Son. So you should already believe that. So you should already know that he's not the Father. You know what I mean? So that's why people who aren't saved and they don't believe, like, that's why they get caught up in stuff like that.
When someone first gets saved, one of the first books, what do we point them to when they first get in the book of John?
John, yeah.
And in the very first couple of verses of the book of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yeah. The Bible's clearly making a distinction.
And even when you read the first, let's say no one even tells a babe in Christ, hey, read the book of John. What's the first book they're going to read by default? The book of Genesis.
Yep.
You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, you know? And so you see the Trinity, you know, throughout the scriptures. And I'm not saying that a babe in Christ is going to have a very thorough understanding of the Trinity, but they will have a surface level understanding of it. They have to believe on Jesus Christ, whom God had sent. And then, you know, the person who is witnessing to that person more than likely is going to teach him about the Holy Spirit that is sealed within that person unto the day of redemption. Boom, you got your Trinity right there. So we reject Jesus-only baptism. It's not in the Bible. You know, when you see that in Acts chapter 2, it's a synopsis of the instructions that Jesus Christ gave out of his own mouth in Matthew 28:19-20. Yeah. Anybody else want to chime in on that?
Or even leading up to that verse, it's kind of clear that he's kind of just, you know, summarizing what to do. You know?
Amen. All right, let me give a, let's see here.
Pastor Bruce Mejia, I really enjoyed the first episode of your podcast. And my question to you is about the abomination of desolation. What do you think it'll look like once it gets set up in our modern time? So say it were to happen, you know, next year or the year after, what do you think that abomination of desolation in our modern times will look like? I really appreciate this opportunity to ask this question, and God bless.
All right, that's from Thomas No Doubt.
No Doubt.
No Doubt. So, you know, that's another podcast in and of itself. I would encourage you to listen to my sermon on Revelation chapter 6, Revelation chapter 13, and I don't remember what other chapters I covered that in, but I covered that pretty extensively. Obviously, when we talk about the abomination of desolation, we are referring to the event that takes place when the Antichrist receives a deadly wound to the head, and his deadly wound is healed, and he goes into the temple of God proclaiming himself to be God, right? And this is what's known as the abomination of desolation, when they actually set up the image of the beast, and people are to worship this image, okay? And honestly, all we can do really is conjecture what the abomination of desolation is. But there's some pretty good conjecture that we've come up with. Yeah. You know, I believe it's a technological thing. Artificial intelligence, I think we talked about that, right?
Yeah.
It could potentially be artificial intelligence. But I want to encourage you to listen to those sermons to get a more in-depth study on that. You guys want to chime in on that?
I mean, just, yeah, it's what it looks like. I mean, in this modern era, I mean, what has become of the world today? I mean, it didn't exist any other time before. It's just, it's come rapidly, and it's coming at it. And that's really the spearhead of all technology is artificial intelligence, right? And they're doing it.
Right. You know? Yeah. I want to encourage you, just listen to those sermons on Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 13. I cover that in those sermons there.
Yeah, and another thing too is, like, you know, who knows how much crazier it's going to get, you know, next, like, let's say 5-10 years. Like, like, I feel like the world I'm living in right now is, like, as already as bizarre as it can get. Like, I'm looking back when I was, like, maybe, like, 10 or 12. Like, I would have never imagined, like, this world, you know, like, at a 10 or 12-year-old. So
I don't think AI as
exponential.
As the abomination, you know, as the image is as far-fetched of a speculation. As
no
it
way.
Might,
yeah.
You know. Yep. Well, we'll do one more because we got to get into this roasting session.
Oh, nice.
And so Keegan Yoakum says, could you expose Tyler Doka's new heretical sermon on the lake of fire? Well, it's not new. He's been teaching that for quite some time. So I want to encourage you to reference my sermon on debunking kingdom exclusionism, part one and part two. I cover that in my sermons on kingdom exclusionism, which is exactly what it teaches. You know, Tyler Doka is this idiot on the internet who literally teaches that Christians will go to the lake of fire. You know, it's just like...
Didn't Justin LeBlanc teach him that?
Justin LeBlanc is the one who taught him that.
They teach each other a lot of strange doctrine.
Yeah.
So is it like a... Where do they...
Idiots.
They teach that basically...
They go into judgment? They're not.
What yeah, they so basically what they teach is that you will be judged by your sins. Like the sins that you've committed, you will be judged. And you will spend time in the lake of fire because of it.
It's a timeout.
So it's like time
out. It's like a timeout. Yeah.
It's the most painful timeout you'll ever have.
It's the most stupidest doctrine that I've ever heard, to be honest with you. And it was during a time, I don't know, it was a couple years ago that he started teaching this. And he literally was coming out with like a new doctrine every single week. Yeah. And I remember when I was exposing his nonsense, I was preaching against him. I literally said on one of the services, I guarantee you the next sermon he preaches is that Christians will go to hell. And literally the very next sermon, he preached that Christians will go to the lake of fire.
It was like night service or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That night he taught on Christians going to hell. So
how do you get out of hell in his view? Do you work your way out?
Well, he's not getting out. So when he goes there, but he's like actually there for all of eternity.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, you know, if he goes there, let's say he goes to hell first, he will get out for a certain time because in Revelation chapter 20, you know, they're going to be judged at the great white throne judgment. But then his silly carcass is going to get cast into the lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched.
It's funny because he went off the deep end, right, like all of a sudden, but he's probably going to that deep end of the lake of fire. you know, he ain't going to be hanging out in that shallow end, you know what I mean? Like, he ain't going to be in that knee-deep lake, you know? He ain't going to be, like, on the shores. Like,
he ain't going to be ankle-deep.
He ain't going to be up to his neck.
Yeah.
Outer darkness.
Yeah.
Way out there.
Yeah, that's... Man. It's crazy to think that, you know? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. How is it that you can say that someone who believes in Christ still has the wrath of God abiding on them? Because the lake of fire... is your manifestation of God's wrath.
Right.
You know, it's a stupid doctrine. But so listen to those two sermons. I have two sermons on it. Kingdom Exclusionism, exposing Tyler Doka's Kingdom Exclusionism, part one and part two. Just type it into the search bar on my YouTube channel and you can find that there. All right. So let me just talk about this real quick before we end the show. Ray, there's some people out there who talk a lot of trash, you know. And you know, they made a video about the podcast, and this guy's he's been trolling for quite some time. He has this foot fetish with me, apparently, because he made this video with my feet on there and stuff. And you know, you just got to be careful what you say, though. You know what I mean? So the person we're talking about is Evan. Evan was a guy who's thrown out at a Verity Baptist church, right? And I feel dirty just saying his name because he's so filthy.
Let's call him Stan.
So, Ray, what do you got for us?
Well, Evan shouldn't throw rocks because he lives in a glass house because we know all his idiocy. You know what I mean?
So why don't you tell us about...
Well,
why don't you talk a little bit about his idiocy?
So this one night, right? This is one night about a couple years ago, right? I'm chilling. I'm chilling, right? I'm on YouTube. I'm watching one of Evan's videos, right? And then
By the way, before you get into that, let me just make it very clear. This guy, Evan, attacks good men of God all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Every man of God, actually.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, Pastor Roger Jimenez, he's been attacking him for years because he was thrown out of Verity Baptist Church. This guy's a wicked person. He's a wicked reprobate. And he makes it. But, you know, he serves his purpose. I mean, he's a trash collector. So everybody who hates our guts, who has rocks in their head, follows him, and that's his following right there. But he's a very wicked person. So we're not just, like, picking someone out of the hat to roast. We're roasting someone who's already roasted.
Yeah.
Who's already going to be roasting in hell
one day. Twice roasted.
He's twice roasted, yeah. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Okay. So.
Yeah, so. So I'm on YouTube, right? I'm on Evan's page, right? And I'm, like, I'm looking at his page, and I go to his playlist, right? I'm going down his playlist, and I see, like, his, I guess he had, like, a music playlist, like, probably from a long time ago or whatever. It's all these, like, rock songs. But I'm scrolling down his music playlist, I see a Lady Gaga video.
Oh, Lady Gaga.
Alejandro, Evan. Like, if your name was Alejandro, Evan might like you. Because then it's like, and this song by Lady Gaga is, like, wicked. Like, the video is, like, so queer. Like, it starts off with, like, guys in, like, fishnets and heels or something. Like, what the hell, Evan? Like,
so I'm looking, we're going to put, like, this on the screen. But you can see it on the screen right here.
Yeah, so I'm like,
just so we know,
so
we're
I'm
not
like,
just,
dude,
it's
if you didn't think Evan was gay, like, now you know he is. Like,
gay as AIDS, bro. He was gay as AIDS.
So then I'm like, oh man, that's gotta be it. You know what I mean? Like, there can't be nothing worse than this. Guy likes Lady Gaga. So
not just Lady Gaga.
So then I go
like
back.
Lady Gaga with guys in fishnets.
Yeah, like super gay. Like. So then I go back. So I'm going down the old playlist list, and then I see this
gay
list,
shit,
like,
dude.
It's like dancing. Up, it's like, man. It's like Dancing for Beginners. Right? I hit it. It's like how to club dance for me. It's like how to club dance. Beginners for guys. Like you click on the video, and you click on the video. It's like
hey, the guy's humble enough to not understand that he's a beginner.
Right? And you click on the video. It's like some guy standing right there in the room by himself. Like, all right, I'm gonna show you how to dance. Like, I just picture Evan in his room, like copy, like in his dirty room. He probably cleaned all his dirty clothes out the way first, and I swept it up to make a little dance floor.
That's probably how he prepped for the last video he made.
Like, that guy's a dork, dude.
Hey, but he actually, like, he blocked that, right?
Oh, yeah, he erased it now, but I got it.
He erased it, but you got it.
I got it.
So let's just go ahead and show it on the screen real quick. Show it. Just to let you know that we do have it. So this is it on the screen right there. You see them both. This is not ad hominem, folks. We actually have proof of this, all right? Can't throw rocks when you live in a glass house, Evan, and a glass bedroom.
Hey, you think he like went out to the club and tried those dance moves out? like hey,
for sure,
100%. Hey, if Mark was here, yeah, he'd be like 100%.
If Mark was here, 100%.
Hey, he's out there dancing. He bumps into some guy, and then like, what man? What? And they get like a chubby man, like dance off. Hey, Evan's like, oh, I've been waiting for this moment. I've been practicing so hard. Like, this guy don't know what he's in for.
And he still loses.
Yeah. He only finished the beginner course because he's lazy.
Yeah, the guy knows that he watched the beginner video. He's like, you haven't got to advance.
Yeah. He's like, nah, I got kicked. He's like, nah, I got kicked out of the class. Try to start a revolution. Yeah.
It's like the levels on Guitar Hero. One day he'll get to expert.
Well, there's a reason why he took that off his channel. You know what I mean? Who would, you know, is like, he's probably
he
like,
knew.
He knew. He knew. But one thing he didn't know was that Ray
was watching.
Ray was watching. And he screenshotted it. Bro. We got it.
Internet's you know. Forever, bro.
Yep. Internet is forever.
Future proves the past.
Yeah, you're dealing with a guy that works with Q, okay?
Hey, what? Hey, you think all his little dork buddies, like, he had that little round table, like, they probably all practiced, too, like.
They're like, have you gone past the beginner stage?
Oh, dude, yeah.
Intermediate? Anyways.
It reminds me of I don't know if you guys are familiar with Napoleon Dynamite, but then he, like, dances.
Yeah, Evan, he's a pretty wicked person. He doesn't believe in hell.
He's an idiot.
He basically sides with every single hater of the new IFB. I mean, he's a very wicked person. And, you know, honestly, he doesn't believe in hell. He's going to believe in it one day, though, for sure. I mean, yeah, he doesn't believe hell exists, right? Isn't that one of his weird beliefs is that he doesn't believe hell is real?
Yeah.
Well, he's going to believe it.
He thinks, like, hell is earth. Like, he's like, hell on earth. Like,
yeah.
Because he's such a, like, little sissy. Like,
that's good that he
bad.
Believes that. Yeah. You know?
How old is he?
I mean, he ain't young.
I just know he reminds me of, like, you know, Stan, what they call Stan.
When we first started the church, he made a video about us called Training Day Baptist. It was pretty cool.
Yep.
He made it to mock us, but we actually liked it. Like, it was just like, damn, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, like his ones he thinks that are, like, going to be hits, like, honestly.
Oh, he was mad. He was mad that the one he thought was supposed to be a hit was not a hit. And the other one where he's making fun of us, Training Day Baptist, was, like, a hit. And he was just like, why are you watching this one? You should be watching this one. I'm exposing these guys and stuff. And it's just like... You're lame, dude. Go back to your dancing videos. Disco night. Saturday night fever. Well,
we should send him, you know, just to give him a little gift. We should send him that, like, what's that video game? Dance Revolution.
Yeah, shoot your address over, Evan.
Well, he likes dancing and he likes revolutions. That's what you got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dance Revolution, son.
Dude, you think he...
Well, shoot the address over, Evan. We'll hook you up. Shoot your address
over. I know
you
don't have enough money to afford it, so we'll help you out here.
Hey, if you get on that real fast mode, you're going to make a little video, upload it.
Well, that's it for tonight, folks. Thank you for tuning in to the Rod of Iron podcast. Make sure you tune in next week. I think next week we're going to be doing a special on Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, actually. We're going to be talking about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu MMA. So, Milan, make sure you're there for that one.
I'll be here.
I don't know if I invited you for that one. We got a lot of Jiu-Jitsu guys in our church, so we're going to be talking about the importance of knowing how to fight physically but also spiritually, amen, and to fight the good fight of faith. And so we're going to be tuning off tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you tune in once again next week. This is the Rod of Iron Podcast. You guys have a good night.